Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be taking a closer look at Gen IP. The company IPO'd in London at the beginning of October. We did speak very briefly with Melissa Cruz, the CEO of Gen IP, on the day, but we're going to revisit the company today and delve a little bit deeper into the operations, where they're operating and the value that they're creating for their clients. And to do that, we're very kindly joined once more by Melissa Cruz, who is the CEO of Gen IP. Melissa, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me today.
So Melissa, as I said, we spoke the day after the listing in London earlier on in October. So, you know, roughly a month has passed since then. How has the very short journey been so far for you as a listed company here in London?
Yes. So the first month as a public company has been incredibly exciting. We launched our Gen AI enhanced services and the feedback has been fantastic. In just 5 weeks, we have secured about 121,000 in orders, including over 80 invention evaluator reports and 4 Vortex executive search assignments. This total accounts for more than 40% of our revenue from our legacy services in 2023. So it is definitely a thrilling time for our team.
Fantastic. Very, very positive. Now, one of the things that I think we'd like to do on this podcast, Melissa, is really get into Gen IP and what you're doing on the ground. And we're going to be discussing your services in a little bit more detail later on in the podcast. But I think one of the important things for listeners is getting a deep understanding of the market that you operate in. Of course, it's generative AI analytics, which is predicted to be a huge market, but there's a subsector of that market that you're operating in, and it's the technology transfer market. And you know, that's something that for people that are involved in it, very well versed. But I think for people that are looking from the outside in on Gen IP and trying to get a grasp of what you do as a business, I think it would be good if we could elaborate on technology transfer and what it means to types of people that are involved in it. So have you got some examples of technologies that have been successfully generated from a research institution and then gone through that technology transfer process and become a successful organization and business at the end of it?
Absolutely. There are many exciting innovations that started in a research institution and have since become major commercial successes. For example, let's say Stanford University. They gave us companies like Google, PayPal, and Yahoo. Harvard University, they play a key role in launching Moderna's mRNA vaccines and the CRISPR-Cas gene editing technology, which was developed in collaboration with MIT and Berkeley. We also have MIT, which brought us iRobot and Ginkgo Bioworks, which is a leader in synthetic biology. Also, the University of Washington, they launched Alexa Voice technology, which Amazon then licensed and is now in smart speakers around the world. And we also have NYU, which developed Remicade, a major treatment for autoimmune diseases and a drug eluting stent, which have revolutionized heart disease treatment. And these are just a few examples of how tech transfer can take groundbreaking research and turn it into everyday innovations.
Okay, so that, you know, the world-class research institutions there that have produced some of the world's leading companies. You mentioned there Stanford University, Google, PayPal, and Yahoo. So that's particularly interesting. Now, looking at Gen IP and how they facilitate this technology transfer, of course, you're harnessing the power of generative AI now, and you're implementing certain algorithms. You know, one of the things that I would like to do is look at these algorithms, because of course, you know, within generative AI there are a number of different algorithms and models that are being implemented, and I think listeners would like to get a deeper insight into the ones that Gen IP are implementing. So I think it comes down to the definitions, because, you know, there's a few different models out there. There's natural language models, there's large language models. I think it would be good for listeners if you'd be able to explain which models it is that Gen IP uses as well as explaining the difference between the one that you use and some of the other models out there?
So, great question. In the AI war, large language models, LLMs, like OpenAI's GPT, Google's Gemini, and Meta's Llama, are kind of like the big all-purpose engines. They cover a huge range of topics and can generate text on just about anything. Narrow language models, or NLMs, on the other hand, are much more specialized. They are designed to excel in specific areas, providing deeper insights and accuracy in their focus domain. So while LLMs are like generalists, NLMs are more like experts. At GenIP, we use LLMs to power tasks like data analysis and pattern recognition, but we also combine that with human expertise to make sure that our reports are insightful and tailored to the complexities of technology transfer.
Everyone listening to this will be familiar with chatbots like ChatGPT, for example, and probably use them themselves. Great for generating ideas, generating reports. So some people may have the question, if ChatGPT can generate fairly comprehensive reports, can't anybody go ahead and create reports and analysis of technologies as your product invention evaluator is? And they may have the question of what makes GenIP's models so special.
That's an interesting question. So while tools like ChatGPT are very powerful, our models are specifically designed for the nuances of technology transfer and commercialization. What sets us apart is that we combine our GenAI models with expert human analysis. So our reports are fast, but they're also very comprehensive and verified by professionals that have advanced degrees. It's not just about generating content. It's also about making sure that the analysis is accurate, meaningful, and actionable. Our team, for example, help us to guide the AI to avoid blind spots and deliver the kind of quality that a generic chatbot might miss.
I think we've touched on Invention Evaluator in some detail, and of course that's the tool to help research organizations commercialize their discoveries. The other side of the business is Vortex, operating in the recruitment market. What GenAI models are Vortex employing, and how are they employing them?
Great question. So with Vortex, our recruitment service, we use GenAI to enhance job descriptions and sift through large data sets to quickly identify potential candidates. It's a bit like Match.com, let's say, but for technology transfer professionals. After the AI does its part, our human experts step in to review the final selection, making sure that the candidates are the best fit for the client. This dual approach really streamlines the process and makes it more cost-effective for our clients.
Going back to the beginning, Melissa, you mentioned the success you've had so far, securing over 80 orders for Invention Evaluator being one of those. But I think listeners to this would be, you know, particularly interested to get an idea of what they can expect from the company in terms of future releases. What are you going to be announcing, and what they can expect to hear from the company in the future?
Yes, investors can definitely expect more updates on new partnerships, exciting marketing initiatives, and continued improvements to our services. For example, we recently announced our participation in a major international conference, and we have been invited to other big events in the innovation space. So we're really excited about the growth opportunities coming up.
Thank you. So just touching on an event you announced this week you're going to be part of, Fortech over in Brazil. You did put out an RNS reach about this, so I think it's going to be worth touching. What's the significance of this event, Melissa? What are you hoping to get from it? What are the types of people that you're going to be speaking to through your participation?
Sure. Fortech is Brazil's top technology transfer event, and we're very thrilled to be participating as a sponsor. It's a fantastic opportunity, actually, for us to connect with over 350 professionals from 60 technology transfer offices representing Brazil's leading universities, corporations, and research centers. So we definitely see this as a great chance to build new relationships and expand our client base.
Melissa, thank you very much. Just a note to listeners, GenIP listed on London's AIM under the ticker of GNIP. So Melissa, thank you very much for being with us today.
thank you for the opportunity to interview, and we're very enthusiastic about the potential growth ahead of GenIP.
Thank you very much, Melissa, and thank you very much to everyone for listening. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.